Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to bring you a very brief message tonight. I have another message if you want to. This one's not long enough. We'll preach both of them, but I had one all prepared. But I feel like tonight that something that I've had for many years, and I want to share it with you this evening. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we have the opportunity to come and assemble and worship here in the house of the Lord. And we ask you tonight, dear Lord, that you might take our words tonight. You might use them for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. This evening, Lord, you might forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, and our failures. And tonight, we lift up these tonight that are on our prayer list. We lift up tonight our nation and those that protect it. We ask you tonight to bless all of them. We ask you this evening now, Lord, that you might be in this service, guide us and direct us in Christ's name. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says something that I'm sure you're familiar with, but I want you to listen to it again very carefully. Paul said in verse number 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I used to call this, "Let's get drunk." Kind of like the old mountain preacher or mountain man one time was up in the mountains, and he looked around. And he said, "Well, it's Saturday night. I got to get drunk, and I sure do dread it." Sometimes we need to get drunk, as the Apostle Paul is going to teach us here in this particular verse of Scripture. I remember many years ago hearing Dr. Rogers preach, and he said, "You know, if I came into this pulpit and I slurred my words and I staggered all over the place and my hair was all messed up and my tie was pulled to the side and everybody was aware that I'd been drinking liquor and I was drunk," said it wouldn't take too long for all of the deacons and the officers of the church, and they'd ask me to get out of here. Because he said that would be a horrible and a terrible thing. But he said, "I think it's also a horrible and a terrible thing when we come to the pulpit and we're not filled with the Spirit of God and we're not drunk on the Spirit of God." Because tonight, that's a sin of omission tonight. And as I read this verse of Scripture tonight, I think I agree with Dr. Rogers that we really need to be drunk on the Spirit of God. We need tonight to be filled with God's Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching and all men began to hear them and they began to think they were drunken, Peter said, "They're not drunk." They're not drunk. They're not drinking wine. That's nothing to do with physical drunkenness tonight, but it has to do with the Spirit of the living God. God's Spirit had indwelt these men, and now they were prepared to go out into the world and be witnesses and a testimony for Christ, to carry the gospel of the Son of God, to carry the message of God into the uttermost parts of the world. And so here in our particular passage tonight, as Paul writes this church, and as it's been preserved by God down through the ages for you and I, and it's written not only for them, but for you and I, we need to sometimes, I think, take these verses that we've heard over and over and over again and examine them because they're so important. And tonight, as Paul says this, I want you to see the importance that's attached to being filled with the Spirit of God. It's very important tonight that we allow God's Spirit to fill us and take charge of our life. There's a song that we sing, and I love the song. It's, "Brethren, we have met to worship." And you know tonight, as we've met to worship, that's a great song. But there's a phrase in it that sometimes I'm afraid we really don't listen to very well. And that is that it's all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. You know, tonight if we do our very best, if we tonight do the very best that we can, whether it be great or whether it be not so great, if it's the very best that we can do, We think, boy, we've done something. We've given everything we've had. We have done the very best that we can. It's not good enough. Doing the best you can is not good enough. You know, if you're playing sports or if you're on the job, if you're doing anything in the secular world and you do your very best, you give it everything you've got, people say, boy, that's good enough. But that's not the way it is worked for the Lord tonight, folks. Our best is never good enough. You see, everything tonight does not depend upon us. Everything that we do is really vain. It's really emptiness tonight unless the Spirit of God's involved in it. Now think about that. It doesn't matter tonight if we're the best preacher, if we're the best singer, if we're tonight do everything just perfect tonight, it's still not good enough. Because you see tonight, the work of God does not depend upon our best. It depends upon the Spirit of the living God. And without the Spirit of the living God, everything is vain and emptiness this evening. Our worship. Paul says in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we worship tonight, giving our best is not good enough. Tonight we're to be filled with the Spirit. And then tonight we begin to worship God. We may even sing off key. We may tonight not be able to do anything seemingly that the secular world would approve of. But when we are filled with the Spirit of God and we begin to worship God in the Spirit of the Lord tonight, that's acceptable unto God. I'm convinced tonight, many, many, many times, people assemble and they come together and they are here for the worship service or they're there for the worship service. And when we come in and we sit down and we're going to worship God, but we don't really do it in the Spirit of God. You see, it's tonight, that's where we really worship the Lord tonight. I see and watch many things and look around and make observations. And the other day a church was mentioned and somebody was in the shop when that happened and they made this comment, said, well, I've been to that church, and they just put on a show. Now, I don't know whether they do or not. But, you know, I think that's a lot of happening in our world tonight. People are just putting on a show. They're just putting on a front. You see, the Spirit of God tonight, when He gets indwelling you tonight and He gets within you, you can really worship the Lord tonight. Without the worship of the Spirit of God, we can't really worship. Verse 21, it has to do with our personal lives. And he said, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave him for it. You know, when we have a relationship with others tonight in the Spirit of God, and we're filled with the Spirit of God this evening, that relationship will be a lot better. He said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. So many times trouble in our churches tonight is over trivial and things that doesn't make a hill of beans this evening. Churches have all kinds of problems and split over this and arguments over that and fusses over that. And usually it's all about who wants to be in charge and be in control of something. The Spirit of God gets in control. You're willing to submit tonight. You're willing to allow tonight and submit to others in the fear of the Lord. He talks here about the marriage. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. That's unto the Lord. Now, everybody wants to harp on that sometime, but, you know, of course, verse 25 said, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and give himself for it tonight. You see, this evening, when a marriage tonight has two people who are filled with God's Spirit, who are controlled by God's Spirit tonight, then that marriage is going to be a good marriage. I don't preach a lot about marriage. But I'm convinced of this one thing. If we tonight are submitted tonight to God's Spirit, we're willing to follow what God's Word said. And I'm convinced tonight many of the problems that I see in our country tonight and in our families and in our marriages tonight are because people are not willing to be filled with God's Spirit and controlled by God's Spirit tonight. Not willing to be submitted to God and let the Spirit of God be in charge and in control. You see, that's what it means to be drunk with the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. You're tonight controlled. You're filled. Something else tonight is controlling you instead of your own self. You see, most of us are selfish people. We are. We're selfish. I say that for, I'm selfish, and other people tonight, as we look around, we can say we see a lot of selfish people because we want always, most of the time, what's best for us, don't we? Amen. We want what's best for us. And we're living in our society has gotten more selfish as time has went on. We no longer have people who are willing to sacrifice anything. Everybody is selfish. They want what they want, and they want it right now. And they don't care who they have to hurt. They don't care who they have to walk over. They don't care tonight. Just as long as they can get what they want at this particular point in time. But the Spirit of God says, hey, you need to put your needs above somebody else's. You need tonight to allow me to be in control of this thing. You need to let me be in charge. As I said, I don't harp a lot about this thing, but we live in a society, as somebody has said, we started out with Adam's rib, and then we had the devil's fib, and then we wound up with women's lib. And we live in a society tonight that wants to take God's word and tonight and remove it from the marriage. But it can't be removed. The wife is to be submissive to her own husband. That's scriptural. That's biblical tonight. It may not be popular, but that's what God says. The husband is to be the head of the house and the head of the wife tonight. Doesn't mean tonight that he's to browbeat her or to physically beat her or any of the things sometimes people want to bring into this. It simply means tonight that God tonight has put him as the head of the household. But the husband is also to love his wife as Christ loved the church. You see tonight, if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, you're willing tonight to even die for your wife. And if a man's willing to die for her, I think she might be more submissive to him. But that's tonight when you become controlled by the Spirit of God because you do what the Bible teaches us this evening. Our work. We're going to work for the Lord. We have to do it under the Spirit of God. Our warfare, we're waging a warfare tonight. We're engaged in a warfare, war against the souls of men. Paul talked about that a little bit in chapter 6 of Ephesians. And we're living in a time of great spiritual warfare. We can't fight it with carnal weapons, as Paul taught us in the book of 1 Corinthians. We tonight are trying to fight a spiritual war with carnal weapons so many times. You see, we fight it tonight and we come under the influence and be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the way you fight a warfare, a spiritual warfare tonight. When an army goes out to fight a battle, they're under the command of their officers. And every soldier can't go and do as he thinks best. Tonight, when we go out to fight the battle in the spiritual warfare, we're under the command of our commanding officer. We're to do as he directs tonight. So important tonight to be filled with the Spirit of God. You see, Jesus said, without me, you can do very little. Is that what he said? You can't do much, Jesus said, without me. He said, no, he didn't say that. What did he say? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, that's pretty tough when you think about it. Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. Nothing. Nothing that matters can be done without Christ tonight. Right, a lot of times we see a lot of folks doing nothing. But a lot of times I've done nothing. Because you see, it takes the Spirit of God to convict tonight, to bring the reality of sin to people, to bring the reality of the Savior to people. It takes the Spirit of God to guide us and direct us through our lives tonight. No matter if we're singing, if we're preaching, if we're teaching, if we're witnessing, if we're testifying, tonight we're to be under the influence tonight and be led and guided and directed and controlled by the Spirit of God. I look back over history and I read, used to read biographies of preachers of yesteryear like Sam Jones, the great Methodist evangelist, and Billy Sunday, and Dwight L. Moody, and Harry Arnside, and many others tonight of God's great men of yesteryear. One of the things I'm always amazed at is I begin to read their biographies and read their sermons and listen to their testimonies tonight. Every one of them tonight was filled with God's Spirit. Always tonight. D.L. Moody murdered the King's English. Boy, you read his sermons tonight and, you know, I'm not too good, but I'm really great, Cor, with D.L. Moody. I mean, he didn't know a conjunction from a preposition or anything else. I don't either, but he really didn't. I mean, he murdered the King's English. But he turned three continents to Christ. Why? Somebody said one time when they were thinking about having an evangelistic crusade and everybody but one man was forgetting D.L. Moody, and he stood up and said, well, do you think D.L. Moody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And somebody said, no, but we think the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. That was the difference tonight. It doesn't matter your English. It doesn't matter all of that. If God's Spirit's there, he does the work. And the imperative, you say, what do you mean? Well, it was commanded by the Lord tonight. It's no option. God doesn't say, be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't say, if you don't want to be filled with the Spirit, here, do this. There's no other plan. We don't have any plan B tonight. It's just the only plan. It's God's way. Somebody said, well, I don't understand that. Well, it doesn't matter whether we understand it or not. Doesn't mean tonight it's not right. You see, tonight God's way was very simple. When I read the Bible and you study the book of Acts and you study Paul's writings and you begin to see, as Paul talked about, the simplicity that's in Christ. I've heard some of these folks that somebody said, boy, they're deep in the Word. They're so deep I didn't have a clue what they said when they got through. Not being ugly. I'm just being honest with you tonight. One time two ladies came out of a church after Harry Arnside had been there to preach that morning, and one of them said, well, I heard he was a great preacher. All he did was explain the Bible. Think about that tonight, the simplicity. That's God says, be filled with the Spirit, and I'll take care of everything else. Well, wait a minute, Lord. I can do it this way, and it makes a lot more sense. Yeah. Might to you, but that ain't the way it works. Be filled with the Spirit. You see, it's always tonight. What we need to do is understand when God tells us something. Somebody said, God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. No. God said it, and that settles it. And God said, be filled with the Spirit. If you want to worship, if you want to work, if you want to tonight serve, if you want to witness, you want to testify, if you want to do anything tonight, you got to be filled with the Spirit. That's where it's all about this evening. Then the incentive. What's the incentive tonight? Well, when we're filled with the Spirit, you know, if Paul talked about here getting drunk with wine, you know, folks, we're living in a time when won't be long, you'll see all of the Clydesdales and all of the Budweiser commercials and all of this and people having a Christmas party and having a big time and, you know, it doesn't get any better than this and so forth and so on. We're drinking to what? To have a good time. We're drinking tonight so that we can have a good time. Well, see, when we're filled with the Spirit tonight, that's when the real good times begin. It'll make us love God more. Make us even look at Him differently. I'll assure you that this evening. It'll even make us love our fellow man more and look at him very differently this evening. Tonight, the incentive tonight is that God tonight blesses what we do. God blesses the opportunities that we take advantage of, and God uses us tonight as His witness and His testimony this evening. That's a great incentive to be filled with God's Spirit, isn't it? When we're filled with the Spirit of God and we can tell people about Jesus, when tonight we can share the Word of God, when we can live before others tonight, when we can come to the house of God and sit down in the pew and sing the songs of Zion and listen to God speak to our hearts tonight through His Word and the Spirit of God making us worship. That's what the incentive is tonight, to be obedient to God. And when we're obedient to God, God blesses that tonight. I'll assure you that, ladies and gentlemen. And the last point I want you to understand is this. How do you stay drunk? You just keep drinking, don't you? You know what? So it's a continual thing. We have to be continually filled with God's Spirit. And as I said, it means to be controlled and filled and allowing God to be submissive to God and do what the Lord wants us to do this evening. Society and the times in which you and I live tonight, as we look around and the great opportunities that maybe God will present to us to be a sure and faithful witness, to be a good and faithful soldier. We can do it if we're filled with the Spirit of God. One day we'll stand before the Lord. And I hope when He stands before Him, He can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Tonight, we need to be filled with God's Spirit. We need to be drunk with, not with wine, but with the Spirit of God. As we enter this time of the season when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and people want to celebrate it tonight with all kinds of drunken parties and that kind of thing tonight, we need to celebrate it tonight by being filled with God's Spirit and letting people know the real reason for Christmas, that Jesus Christ has come to be the Savior of the world. Let's be filled with the Spirit of God. All right. If you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity we've had to speak to this people. Lord, we ask tonight that you might bless this tonight. Use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. His precious holy name I pray. Amen.